Hello, Cinnabar Moths, or any kind of moth you'd like to be. Welcome to the Writer's Triangle, Cinnabar Moths podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we're here with Alyssa Alessi, author of Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch. Alyssa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm excited to talk to you today. Are you feeling excited about the release of Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch coming out this upcoming Tuesday?
I am super excited. I'm super ready for Izzy to be out in the world.
So, what are you most looking forward to about the release of Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch? And are you going to do anything special with its release?
So I am actually planning a giant spooky book fair to launch Izzy, and I feel like it's the perfect way to celebrate with the entire community, other horror authors throughout New England. I'm super excited.
Oh wow, so you're doing a whole event then.
Yeah, instead of just being a launch, just all eyes on me, all eyes on Izzy. I was like, you know what? I would feel more comfortable just celebrating with everyone. So we just turned it into a giant party instead.
It sounds like it'll be a good time, and that'll also give people, a variety of experience with it. And I think that also helps with, connecting with other authors as well. We can uplift everybody at the same time. That sounds really nice.
Thank you. I'm definitely excited for that. I'm always looking for ways to connect with other writers and especially other horror writers because I feel like sometimes horror writers kind of get left in the dust. So it's good to connect and kind of share our experiences and our thoughts, and I'm super excited.
Yeah, that does sound really awesome. And so with connecting with other writers and everything, being an author, you have a book that's out. Is Izzy Hoffman the Is Not a Witch the first book that you've written, or is this a different book that was your first?
So, Izzy Hoffman is the first middle grade novel that I've written. In the past, I've played with different types of writing styles, kind of trying to figure out, what feels the most comfortable for me, what flows the easiest. I've tried some spooky picture books, some spooky graphic novels. A few adult short stories, but Izzy Hoffman is the first middle grade full novel that I've actually completed. So it feels good to get her out there.
Okay, so it sounds to me like this is the first full-length novel that you published, is that correct?
Correct, it is, yep.
Okay. And so, how does that feel with having your first full-length novel going out there into the world?
It feels good. It feels like I've accomplished something, but at the same time, it feels like, okay, what's next? Like, what else do we want to share?
So you're already feeling excited for your next project.
I am. I'm super excited.
That's awesome. I think that having that excitement moving forward is always great to be able to keep you going as a writer, right? Because sometimes that can be something we struggle with, is inspiration.
I feel like the inspiration is always there for me. There's always an idea brewing. There's always something I want to write down for later. I feel like it's more of a confidence issue with imposter syndrome that kind of just comes and goes in waves. I think almost everyone must deal with that. Not even just in writing, just in other aspects of life. It just kind of goes up and down, and sometimes you feel like, oh wow, I have all these great ideas and I can't wait to just get this out. And you just type up a whole couple chapters, three chapters, and you're like, wow, this is great. And then the next day you read it over and you're like, actually, that's not so great. Let's what am I writing? And you kind of just have to close the computer for a little while. But the idea is just, for me, luckily for me, I feel like I have too many ideas.
Yeah, that sounds like something that can be, a blessing and a curse, right? With the having so many ideas all the time. And that is something that I had when I remember when I was writing my first book, which is my only book, is Pigs in the Mist. I had all these ideas come up while writing that. I was like, oh, I could do this other story arc, or this character's backstory would be so interesting. And it's like, no, that doesn't fit into what I'm doing for this novel.
But that's great if it doesn't fit in, because you can just write it down and keep it for later inspiration. You never know.
Yeah, that's true. And so, speaking of inspirations, Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch takes place in sleepy New England town. What inspired that setting for you?
So I grew up and still live in Boston, Mass. So it's not quite a sleepy New England town, but I mean, we have the best autumn season ever. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm biased in that opinion, but we have amazing autumn seasons here. I grew up kind of traveling around New England, getting to see the foliage and getting to see the different historical sites and things that took place here. I grew up going to Salem, Mass, which, I mean, who doesn't love Salem, Mass? I got to go trick-or-treating there as a kid and just kind of always felt the magical energy that lives there. But I didn't want to set the book in Salem because I feel like there's more to New England. I kind of wanted like a sister town that shares similar history. I mean, all of these towns have similar vibes. And they all kind of have that spooky feeling of like, wow, something went down here. You can feel it. You can feel it in the air. You're like, this place is magical. And sometimes in a sad way, and also sometimes in a very inspiring way, like, wow, these people really went through some stuff right here where I'm standing. And hundreds of years later, like, here I am walking around in skinny jeans on the same cobblestone streets. So I'm still captivated by the whole magic of the entire East Coast of Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine. I just love it.
Yeah, so the inspiration comes from your own experiences in these towns and in these places that you enjoyed the atmosphere and you wanted to bring that to life in your writing.
Absolutely. I also kind of struggled a bit with the history of Salem, even as a kid, of just being like, wow, you know, like this is fun and everyone's having fun and making light of the situation and light of the history. But the history was really dark and people really struggled and lost their lives. And this whole hysteria of witches and witchcraft and Satanism and all these things. But those were real people at the end of the day. And I feel like that's where the real story came from. Like, I wonder what those women were feeling at that time. I wonder what they could have been if they weren't executed in that way. I wonder what their family, if they have any descendants left, thinks of it all. So that's kind of where Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch came about, to be honest.
Okay, so the setting came from the experience of the kind of the magical feeling of these atmospheres and these places and them being steeped in history and mm-hmm. then delving deeper into that history and your empathy for these people these genuine people who were alive during these times is what inspired the rest of the story in a sense.
Absolutely.
Okay, that does sound, that makes a lot of sense to me in terms of how you've written it. And I do think that you've taken a very interesting approach when it comes to kind of extending that bloodline down into the years with Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch. And going into a bit, you have a character in Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch, which is the Bony Witch. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's a pretty terrifying image. What exactly inspired the Bony Witch?
You know, I always thought like it'd be really cool to see a ghost, right? on TV, usually when it's an ancestor, they are in like a gown and they look beautiful and maybe like how they looked here on Earth. But I think reading Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark as a kid and those types of images, I feel like that kind of creeped more into my mind. Like, I don't know if an ancestral ghost would just float around like fluorescent in a beautiful gown. I just don't know if that's what it would look like. Like, let's be real, this ghost has been through some stuff. So she might look a little scary. And I mean, I liked being afraid. I still kind of like being afraid. So I wanted to relive that as a kid, and reading Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, reading Goosebumps, and having these images in my mind. Like, I just think it should be scary. It shouldn't be like, oh, look at that cute little Nana ghost. Like, I don't know if that would happen. I think the image might be kind of terrifying.
That actually makes a lot of sense to me with the way that it was written, is that idea, you know, of ancestors and ghosts often being portrayed in a very kind of set fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And you've taken a very different approach with it that I do enjoy and appreciate as well. And it was interesting to me because it didn't actually set into my mind necessarily as an ancestral figure immediately because it was different, right?
Because she was scary.
Like, yeah, what? Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I think if I saw a ghost of my great, 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 great grandmother, I would be terrified.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can't imagine like seeing an apparition and being like, oh, wow, that's my great, great, great grandmother. That's so interesting.
Like, wow, it's so beautiful.
This gown is beautiful. Oh, my. No. It would make more sense to, especially, you know, to having to exist in essentially a sort of limbo for so long, right?
Exactly.
Even if they had originally been in that gown, which I think not very many people necessarily pass away that way, but exactly. Even putting that aside, you know, over time, their form probably does change.
Yeah, especially if they're, whatever you want to call it, their soul, their existence is struggling. They're struggling in the afterlife. They're in pain. They're not happy. And they're not the type of ghost that just doesn't know what's going on around them. Bony Witch is very aware. She's like, will somebody listen to me?
Yeah, I do think that you capture that very well. And the way that the Bony Witch's character evolves in the story does kind of capture that essence. And without any spoilers, I feel like it was very well written and an enjoyable arc. And so with, you know, you mentioned that you enjoy these scary aspects and bringing in scary things into your writing and into the things that you read. And I found that even as an adult reading through Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch, there were, you know, quite a few scary aspects and things that evoked those horror elements for me, even though it is a middle grade book, as an adult reading it. How did you manage to write, you know, something that's scary for the middle grade as well as for the adult audiences? And was that something that you were thinking about while you were writing?
I honestly think I was thinking about the stories that I read as a child, which a lot of things in like the early 90s, if they came out today, they would probably say it's not appropriate for child movies, books, I mean, all of that. And then if you think back to even, I'm going to say Goosebumps again, because it was really, I feel like my introduction to horror. It's what I started reading at about, I don't know, 7, and was like, okay, this is it for me. Like, I love this. Without saying that out loud, I knew that that was like the path I was going. those stories never ended well. They never true. Ended well. I would just close the book and be like, okay, what happens next? Like, this kid just is stuck with the mask on his face forever. Like, what's going on? Like, it was just never a happy ending. So now, another author, I don't know if you know of Ghost Girl, Ali Malinenko, I might be butchering her last name, I'm sorry, but she recently said something that stuck with me, and she said that you can go as dark as you want in children's books as long as you bring them back to the light. And I really loved that because it's true. I think it is true. And in Izzy's defense, things would get really dark, but I think it was all out of protection. In my opinion, I don't know, maybe a reader would think differently, but I feel like as terrifying as Bony Witch was, she was trying to do what she thought was right at the same time trying to get attention. Which I think a great grandmother would do. I mean, my grandmother was pretty tough. She was sweet, but she was pretty tough at the same time. So I guess that might have even inspired that a little bit as well.
That does make a lot of sense. And that is a great thing to take away is the, you can take them as dark as you want as long as you bring them back to the light.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you said that clicked for me as something that is true, because I've read some books over the years, even that were meant for younger audiences, that they covered some pretty dark stuff, but there is that happy ending at the end, right? And I think even some books that aren't necessarily considered horror have aspects that are similar to that, because I think of, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and the Chronicles of Narnia, and all of those. There's some actually seriously dark topics covered in that.
Very scary. I think a lot of aspects of that was very scary. I read that book so many times as a child. I didn't even want to move on to the next books in the series because of how many times I reread that one. And
yeah,
there were parts that were very, very dark.
Yeah, and that's...
Like, did it end well? I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's up for your personal opinion. Do you think it ended well, you know?
Yeah, and so I think of these books, and I think of examples of that, and that does hold true when it's not something I'd actively thought about before. So that's interesting. And I do think that Izzy Hoffman does a good job of, you know, delving into some of these darker things, but always bringing it back to the light at the end.
Thank you.
And so with Izzy Hoffman, you know, I also really enjoyed that there are a lot of strong women in the story and in the book. And I was wanting to ask you, is that by design or is it just something that fit the story or is it a bit of both?
I think it's definitely both. Definitely both. I mean, people say like a strong woman, like it's a new thing, but like, let's be real. Women have been strong forever since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Bearing so much, enduring so much and still coming out magical. So it's definitely something that I thought about while writing it. Like I want all of these generations of women to just be totally strong. Like they can get through this. They can get through anything. Like you said, without giving away too much, I mean, they got this. They can handle this. They do need each other though. They have to compromise. They have to work together and they can make it. Can't do it alone. No matter how strong you are, you shouldn't do it alone, right?
That's true. You know, women have been strong since women have existed, pretty much.
Exactly.
And I do agree that like stories about women should have women who are strong because that's just the reality, right? And I do think that the way that it's written is in Izzy Hoffman's novel, which does have the sense of this is just who they are. It doesn't feel contrived at all. And that's part of why I enjoy, you know, the representation of women being strong. So I do think that some stories kind of feel contrived when they do it. Like, it's a token bit. Mm-hmm. But in Izzy Hoffman's Not a Witch, it's just, this is just how these people are going about their lives and how they function. And
thank you so much.
And with that, I think that is comes across so well because of the way that you've built the world, right? These horror aspects, the female characters in the books, and the progression and everything, all this goes back to the world building and the effort that you put in to your creating a world that feels real and that readers can connect to. And so I wanted to ask you, how did you go about your world building process? How did the setting and everything come about for you?
So, I mean, that's not fair. It was so easy. I live so close to Salem, Mass. I live so close to Marblehead, Gloucester, Ipswich, all these coastal towns. And I really could just close my eyes and think back to being there as a child. Or, I mean, honestly, halfway through this book, I was like, I need to go to Salem. I need a day in Salem. I need to just go and just walk around and just feel the ocean. I need to go and watch the harvest moon rise over the water. And I did that, and it was just there. I'm like, I feel this. It's so magical. And then obviously there were so many things that were fictionalized. I mean, it is fiction at the end of the day, but the real inspiration was there. The actual scents were there. I could smell the ocean. I could smell the cinnamon. I could smell that caramelly apple scent in the air. I could smell it all, the fried food. I could smell the leaves crisping. It was just too easy. Like, I could literally just close my eyes and be there. And honestly, I feel like you kind of see that in Hocus Pocus. And I even used that as a comp for the setting. Like, this is definitely in the Hocus Pocus world.
Hmm. Okay, so you use some inspiration from other literature that you've experienced, as well as the convenience of being near Salem.
Yeah, real life, real memories, real experiences. It was just there. I feel like that is me. That is my soul. That setting is inside me. It's my soul.
I think that's wonderful that you're able to take something that's so central to you in a lot of ways, right? And you're able to write a story that represents it well, so that, you know, the readers who have read it, the book so far, have had the experience of going into it and coming away with that same sense of the world. And it's really impressive.
Thank you. I hope when you read it, I hope you could feel what I felt. I hope that you could smell what I was smelling.
Yeah, I do think that the descriptiveness played very well for making the world feel cemented in reality. And so, speaking of, you know, reviewers and people reading the book, are you reading any of the reviews of Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch?
You know, I do truly feel like the reviews are for readers. They're really not for us. They're not for the writers. They're not for the creator. You write it and then you put it out there and people are going to read it, hopefully, right? And it is what it is. It's either for them or it wasn't. It resonated with them or it didn't. But I'm guilty. I read a few of the reviews and I was like, mostly because a few friends online were like, hey, I got an ARC and I read this and I loved it. Check out the review. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to fall down that rabbit hole of looking at the reviews and I'm not sure if I want to. But of course I do. But what if they say something bad? And it's like, all right, well, once you open that can, you opened it. So I did read a few reviews and I read one that wasn't so great. And it's still, you know what? It was okay. I'm like, this wasn't for them, and that's okay. But I read a few good reviews, great reviews, and I literally cried. I was like, wow, this person understood what I was going for. And their child at that was like loving it. They wanted to go back to read it every night and they couldn't wait to read it. And I was like, you know what? That's enough for me. One 10-year-old child was like, I love this book and I can't wait to read it. And I feel like that's all I needed. I was on top of the world after I read that, and no other reviews matter ever.
I think that's beautiful. You have that. And I think this is actually pretty common for a lot of other authors I've interviewed as well, is that if I can connect to one person, you know.
That one person, that's not my own kid, because my own kids don't want to read my stuff. So.
Wait, they don't?
No. Not at all. Believe it or not, my kids do not really like scary things.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a 12-year-old and she's like, I like stories with tragedy. I like sad stories, contemporary, and I don't want to read scary things. So she was just not interested in Izzy Hoffman. And that's also okay, because you should read what you like to read.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I hadn't accounted for the possibility that, you know, your kid wouldn't be interested in horror.
Yeah, when your own children reject your writing, it's like, okay, you can handle anything. Usually people use their children as like their guinea pigs, like, hey, read this, isn't it great? And usually your kids are your biggest fans, like, yeah, this is great, I love this, everyone will love this, not my kids. So I have some honest reviewers here. They're like, that's not my vibe. And I'm like, all right, read what you like. You want to read and cry, go for it. That's what you like.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. You know, they have their own taste that they've developed, and it doesn't quite match necessarily what you're writing. But hey.
Absolutely.
And so with that connection with, you know, these some of these positive reviews and everything, receiving that feedback, How do you feel about how well your work is being received and the idea of, you know, building a fan base?
Honestly, I have never thought about that. I've never thought about a fan base. I've never thought about people actually being fans. It sounds just so foreign to me. But I mean, that would be amazing.
I mean, yeah, the 10-year-old that reviewed that wants to read the book, I think is probably a fan of the writing.
That's true. I don't know. I guess it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Like I said, I literally cried. Like, wow, this person loved it. That's like all I needed.
And so with that, you know, the building of receiving reviews and the positive reception and everything, are friends and family, you know, reading the reviews or checking it out and giving you feedback or sharing positivity? What's your experience with everybody around you?
So my friends and family are extremely supportive. So I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky with that. My family is like, hey, don't read the reviews. Like, there are so many people in this world and everyone has an opinion. Just don't read the reviews. That's silly. So I have them to keep me at bay. Like, hey, don't read the reviews. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Mm.
Not going to read them. A few writer friends out there gave amazing feedback and really, really nice reviews. So I'm lucky with that as well. The writing community is super supportive. I found a really, really great community on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it now. I really don't know where I would be without that support. I mean, everyone's just been great.
That's wonderful. I'm glad that you have a community that is supportive and so positive. And I've heard from other horror writers as well, the horror writing community on Twitter or X, or as you said, whatever it might be called by the time this interview this interview comes out for everybody, because who knows, it might change in a few days, right?
It might not even exist, but it was a great place for me. A lot of people have bad experiences there. I've had just the best experience there. I only connect with writers there in the kidlit community, not even necessarily horror, just like the kidlit community in general. Everyone's so supportive and just so uplifting to each other. And I don't know if I would be here right now with a published book if it weren't for them. So I'm extremely grateful for that.
I think it's wonderful that you've been able to find support and that's helped you to, you know, have the confidence to put your writing out there. And I think that it's great that that's happened because personally, I enjoy your writing and I know other people here at Syndrome Off do. And there are readers out there who are also enjoying it that have experienced the advanced reader copies. And I'm sure that once it comes out this upcoming Tuesday, that there'll be even more fans of Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch.
Yay, I hope so.
And so with that, you know, Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch is going out there. It's going to be released this upcoming Tuesday for everybody to purchase, but it's also going into libraries. So how does it feel to know that your book will be listed in the U.S. Library of Congress?
Oh my gosh. I think that is the top thing for me, really, because if it weren't for the library as a kid, I probably wouldn't have any books. I wasn't one of those kids that just got to go nuts at the book fair and just buy a bunch of books. I needed the library. If I didn't have the library, I don't know what I'd be doing after school. It's kind of where I hung out after school. And I could just kind of skim through for probably like a half hour, but that felt like hours to me as a child.
Yeah.
Just going through and picking out what I want to read and having access to books without having to ask your parents for money. I mean, so to be able to have Izzy in the library is like, I can't even explain it. It's a dream come true, seriously. I know that might sound a little cliche or cheesy, but I spent a lot of time in the library, and like I said, that's how I accessed books as a kid, so I'm so happy about it.
I don't think it's a cliche at all. I think that that's a real thing. You know, your experience and your exposure to books and this entire, you know, aspect of the world, right, of writing mm-hmm. and everything comes from your experience in libraries. And mm-hmm. so knowing that your book will be one of the books on the shelf or another kid to, you know, go to the library and discover the world of writing as well is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. I look forward to doing library events too. I have such a good relationship with the librarians in my neighborhood because, like I said, I mean, I basically live at the library, so I'm just excited that someone will be able to go and just check it out and borrow it, read it and love it, and then give it back and let another kid take it out and read it and love it. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, yeah. And so Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch. It's coming out this upcoming Tuesday. It's going to the Library of Congress, right? All these things are happening. What do you hope happens next?
I hope I can stay focused and stay motivated to keep writing and keep putting out more work.
And I think from what you said earlier that you do have the inspiration going forward for more ideas that I'm sure you have plenty already that you have in mind.
So many, Rasta.
And so play up on that with all these ideas and everything. Are you aiming for writing to be your career?
I am. I'm actually writing full time right now, and hopefully I can make it work long term.
Yeah. And do you have any other books that you're writing or wanting to publish or some other works that you're putting out there at the moment?
So this coming winter, there should be some adult short stories out there. I'm not sure if I can say anything else about that right now, but I'll definitely keep that updated on social media as it approaches. And right now I'm working on a YA vampire slayer story. keeping it in the world of witches and vampires, of course. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. So, you know, maybe in a year or two from now, you can check that out.
Wonderful. So it sounds like you've got quite a few projects already, you know, lined up for the future and that you're working on. And so fans of yours will be able to check those out once they come out.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
And so going back to Izzy Hoffman is Not a Witch, I want to ask you a bit more about it. You know, there's the idea of books finding success and then, you know, becoming popular enough for a TV series or a movie or things like that going onto the screen. Do you have, if you were to imagine Izzy Hoffman is Not a Witch finding that success, do you think it'd make a better TV series or a better movie?
I think it would make a great Disney Channel movie, honestly. That's what I would see. Like that Friday night original movie comes on. I think it would make a better movie. Only because there's closure at the end.
Yeah. So for you, you imagine it's a one and done. I do agree that the story does have a nice closing and ending to it that makes it suited for a movie. With that, do you have any idea of someone that you want to cast for any of the roles or anything like that? Any actors, actresses?
Ooh. So there is someone in mind. I think the perfect Izzy would be the girl who plays Bean in Netflix's Ivy and Bean.
Okay, I don't actually know who that is.
I can think about it. Her name... Madison Sky. Her name's Madison Sky, and she would just make the perfect Izzy. Her character in Ivy and Bean is she's a little wild. So she kind of has a smart mouth, really curly hair, and just so cute. But you can definitely see her stepping into like a stronger role. Like, hey, I'm a little bit awkward and shy, but at the same time, I'm gonna tell you what I need to tell you. I think she would be perfect.
It does sound like a good fit with being able to capture Izzy's personality and everything. And so following up on that with the idea of Izzy Hoffman's Not a Witch, you know, getting all this popularity and having the support for a movie to be released, what level of creative control do you think you'd want over that process?
I think it would depend. It would depend on the level, definitely. Like, do you want to change the title? Ooh. I guess that's okay. Hopefully it's better. But do you want to change how strong these characters are? Then absolutely not. So I guess I guess I would want control. I mean, it's in my personality.
So it sounds to me like your main focus, though, with that control is more about keeping the core identity of the story intact and the identity of the characters intact.
Exactly. Small details, fine. Minor details. I mean, even that is up from interpretation, what you consider minor. But like I said, the title, okay, that would be fine. Izzy's name. I don't know. But the characters have to be there. Bony Witch, she has to be terrifying. If she's not terrifying, then absolutely not.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, this is an essential part of how the story flows.
Exactly. Like, actually, we're going to set this on the West Coast. I'd be like, no.
Yeah. I think that would be... That'd make me uncomfortable too. If someone was like, you know, the story that you did, we're just going to change the setting. Mm-hmm. We're just going to completely swap that out. we're going to change this character's personality. And it's like, this is no, you're just removing my story then?
Yeah, I mean, I heard that it could be like that.
Hmm.
I heard it's like that sometimes. And I was recently at a horror event where about four different authors got on a panel, and one was saying that they struggled with the sale and contract of a book they recently written, where they wanted to keep the character, and basically that was it. It's like, what are they buying? I don't get it. They wanted to change the name. They wanted to change the plot. I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know changing the entire plot was possible. But from that discussion, I think it is.
Yeah, I do. Like, I do imagine that there's some creative, you know, changes that have to be made to adjust things for the big screen, right? But there has to be a line somewhere in there for how far you go before it's no longer the story.
Yeah, agreed.
And so let's imagine then, you know, you've gone through that process and you've had the creative control over it, and Izzy Hoffman is not a witch, is going on to the big screen. Would you want to go to the premiere? And if you did, who would you take with you?
I would definitely show up to that premiere with my family. Even though my kids hate scary stuff, I'd be like, no, this scary movie, you're watching. We're doing this. That's a good time. My 12-year-old daughter would definitely be there. My husband would be there. And my kids would be there. Be like, you're watching this. This is one you can sit through.
That makes sense. I do think that, you know, they would probably be excited too for you as well, right? You know, that's your story onto the as a movie. So even if they're not necessarily as interested in the story itself, because, ooh, scary, I think that would still be exciting for them, right?
I could picture them totally complaining the whole time and just, like, making sure they have popcorn. So I would just be, like, riding the wave of total euphoria and just be like, yeah, sure, get all the junk you want. Have all the popcorn you want. And I would just be totally happy. It'd be fine.
Yeah. And so let's, you know, with a premiere and with the movie and everything, that does come with a certain level of popularity, right? And a certain level of fame with it. So I want to talk with you a little bit and ask you, when it comes to fame, are you wanting to become a famous author? Are you wanting to be well-known, like, let's say, Stephen King level? Or what level of fame would you want if you were to become famous?
Ooh. Stephen King money? Yes, absolutely. The fame that comes along with it and not being able to go get a coffee where you want. I mean, probably not, honestly. I think that I think I would feel uncomfortable, to be honest. I don't think I would want all that. I want to put out stories and be, like, you know, as famous as, like, social media famous, not, like, real famous. I think that's, if that makes sense. I don't know. I don't think I could handle that. I feel like I would probably disappoint some people. Like, wow, that person was really awkward. It's not what I expected at all. And it'd be like, yeah, hey, that's just me. I don't know. I don't think I could do it. Although, how many people would recognize Stephen King if they saw him?
Yeah, I don't actually know how many people would necessarily recognize Stephen King. But if we imagine then for you with success, I'm guessing you'd prefer the case where people might recognize your name, right? They'd be like, oh yeah, I know Alyssa's work is amazing. Big fan. But then you walk by on the street and they have no idea that's you.
Absolutely. That sounds ideal. That's ideal.
Okay. So you'd like to be successful. You'd like to have your writing, you know, connect with a lot of people, but you don't want necessarily to lose your day-to-day privacy.
Exactly. Exactly that. The way I go out of the house, no way.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I kind of feel the same way in that it'd be great if people connect with what I do and everything, but mm-hmm. getting stopped in the street for it, I kind of just want to be able to exist and kind of have my own vibe without it being interrupted every now and then.
Yeah, I feel like we're judged enough, like, through social media and stuff. I would never want the life of a celebrity where you go outside in sweatpants and people are, like, taking pictures of you and judging you for your choice and what you decided to put on that day. No way.
Hmm.
But the connection with readers, absolutely. I would love that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so, with that, Alyssa, I'd like to thank you for talking with me today and being on the Writer's Triangle. It's been a wonderful conversation with you.
Thank you. It's been totally relaxing with you, like a friend that I've known my whole life.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that we were able to connect and have this conversation. And thank you to all of our beautiful moms for listening. Be sure to buy Izzy Hoffman Is Not a Witch, coming out the 5th of September, 2023. And Alyssa, can you tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
Sure. I tried to keep it easy. You can find me on Twitter or X at Alyssa Alessi. On other social media platforms, however, I'm Pages in the Graveyard. So that goes for Instagram, for TikTok, Threads. I think that's as far as I go for right now.
Okay. And so everybody's listening, be sure to visit cinnabarmoth.com, so where you can check out the transcript, and we'll also have the links to Alyssa's social media. And once again, Alyssa, thank you for coming on and talking with me today.
Thank you so much. It's been so great.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. And for everybody listening, bye-bye.